You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Bloodgrana Show. My name is Josh. Hope everyone had a good week, despite the fact that there was a brutal El Clasico loss. Let's just get into it. Real Madrid 4, Barcelona 0. This was the second leg of the Copa del Rey, a match that Barcelona had a 1-0 aggregate lead, a match that both teams were coming in off of impressive weekend performances in the league. Real Madrid scored 6, I think, in theirs, and Barca scored 4. So despite the fact that Barcelona were greatly hindered with injuries, it still felt like they had kind of proven that they could score, at least over the weekend. And I'm just left perplexed, like probably many of you, about some of the decisions. I think one of the most obvious ones, Marcus Alonso getting torched at center back. The fact that Eric Garcia put in a great performance over the weekend as a midfielder. Is he worse than Marcus Alonso at center back? That one confounds me. And another thing that confounds me is Gavi playing on the left when you need him in the central midfield or just somewhere in the midfield against Real Madrid and not having Ansu Fati start on the left-hand side. I get it. They really want Fati to leave, but my goodness, of all the matches, Rafinha was terrible. Ferran Torres, when he came on, was just like, eh. The lineup decisions from Xavi were terrible. And Nick wrote a really good piece at BarcelonaBlaugranas.com kind of talking about the Xavi results in cup fixtures and knockout competitions. And even before Xavi, right? Like Barcelona have had their successes in the Copa del Rey this century. But in knockout competitions in the last, 5 years, Barcelona have just lacked the grit. I'm going to use a lot of American sports talking, talking head words. The grit, the guile, the guts that Real Madrid have. And granted, I suppose, no one has the guile that Real Madrid have in cup competitions. As much as it pains me to say it, they continue to do it. We're probably going to continue to see them in the Champions League this season, going up against a Chelsea team that has no identity. And it's frustrating when there are knockout competitions, you just don't trust that they're going to have the backbone to fight through deficits. And that stinks. I know injuries is a valid reason for losing a cup tie to Real Madrid over two legs. It is not a valid reason for losing 4-0 at home and looking like you've given up. It was embarrassing. It really was. And yeah, we can hold it over their head. Like, we're probably going to win the league and have more wins in the Clásico this year than they will. But that hurt. That was a shot to the bow. That was a shot at the everything of Barcelona lately. And it just stunk. It really stunk. That's kind of like all the analysis I have for it, is it hurt. And with each Benzema goal, it hurt even more. The penalty was terrible. I mean, just so clumsy. Some of the midfield play was atrocious. Alonso was awful. Robert Lewandowski, I don't know. A lot of thoughts. This team without Dembele and Pedri and Frankie, oh my goodness. The fact that they did what they did over the weekend, shocking to me. But again, it was against the worst team in the league. So, you know, we'll have to see how that trends forward. Just a terrible loss. Really sucked. And it's not looking forward to this podcast because, like, this is the main talking point this week. And it's terrible. And that was, like, the last, you know, not the last big match, because clinching the league, continuing to, you know, push that forward is huge. Like, winning the league this year is going to be awesome. But man, that was a crappy way to end the last knockout competition for Barcelona this year. If they had lost, you know, 3-1, 2-0, even 4-0. Let's talk about Barcelona news instead, shall we? Barcelona are considering asking the entire squad to take a pay cut. That is the report. Relevo are reporting that Barcelona are considering asking the entire squad for a salary reduction. Listen, it's pretty incredible how poor, like, the fact that these reports get out. I don't know if they're trying to get a feel. If it's one of those things where it's like a strategic leak, this has to be one, if that's what this is, this has to be one of the most idiotic strategic leaks I've ever seen. Nobody, after, you know, the first couple salary reductions a couple years ago, that was cool, right? Everyone was kind of pitching in during COVID. These players have to be sick of it. I mean, they're playing for one of the most famous clubs in the world. Can't seem to get their crap together financially. Who agreed to the contracts that they're on and continually ask them to take reductions, and they're going to ask the whole squad. I don't know. It's crazy to me. I don't know if they're going to do like the American tax system, do it off of tiers. You know, the guys making over 20 million have a 20% wage cut. The guys making 10 to 15 or 10 to 20, you know, 15%, the guys under 10 mil, 5% pay cut. Like, this just, it's insane. I don't know how they keep getting away with it. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe they won't. I guarantee you the players aren't going to be too supportive of this. They've already, a few of the higher earning ones have already been asked to take a pay cut. But if I'm like freaking, I don't know, player X who makes 8 million a year, and I'm looking at Sergio Busquets who makes 30 something, am I going to agree to take a pay cut? No freaking way. I say, pay me. What's the, it might be Goodfellas. There's a Robert De Niro line where he's, you know, F you pay me over and over again. And that's just what I think about when I think about this. I'm going to have to look this up. I don't swear on this podcast. Let me see. F you. Yeah, it's Goodfellas. F you pay me. Yep. That is a line from the great Robert De Niro in that movie. La Liga, speaking of money, La Liga are reportedly considering relaxing. The word relax can mean a lot of things here. Relaxing the salary limits for the summer transfer window. The league is looking to help some teams be more competitive in the market. You know, it's not just Barcelona, because if this was just Barcelona, we know how Tevez rocks. This wouldn't be a thing. But, you know, Betis, Villarreal, Sevilla, Atletico Madrid have all kind of, you know, made some issues or had some issues financially. These relaxations aren't going to fix Barcelona's giant financial problem as a whole. It might help a little bit. How much? I'm not sure. Again, early reporting. It's a little, you know, I wrote this in the write-up for the piece at BarcaBlaugranas.com. It kind of makes sense. Here's the thing. If I'm Tibas, even if I hate Barcelona, right? Wouldn't I want Lionel Messi back in my league? My league that is, you know, solid league. I cover it. But in terms of stars, it's right there with Serie A in terms of, and I guess Ligue 1, although Ligue 1, you know, PSG have the three, who would be the three biggest stars in the Liga if they were here. Would you not want Messi to return? Would you not want to, you know, maybe cut some slack to some of these salary restrictions? And I get they have a business to run, so maybe, you know, there's no quid pro quo here. But if you could, like, do a little bit to help them get Messi back in your league, you sold a massive TV deal to ESPN a couple years ago, and then Messi immediately left. I don't know. Seems like good business. Barcelona have two reported dream targets this summer. Lionel Messi and Bernardo Silva. The Bernardo Silva one continues to not make any sense to me in terms of how in the world they think they would get this done. Maybe they'll sell Ferran Torres for $80 million. Kidding. I like how they think they're going to convince Manchester City for any sort of reasonable transfer fee based off of who Bernardo Silva is as a player in terms of one of the best midfielders in the world. That's not going to happen. He can want to come to Barcelona all he wants. I would be shocked. I guess the Lewandowski thing happens. Yeah. They paid a lot of money for Ferran Torres. Sure. Those are different to me. Bernardo Silva is not as old. I don't think. I have to look this up. How old is Bernardo? I'm going to say he's 33. He's only 28. Yeah, he's not coming to Barcelona still on a contract. There's literally no way. Sorry. The other player, Mr. Messi, we've talked about him. There's not really any new, you know, news. He's being whistled at PSG games, which he is apparently not a fan of. Who would have guessed? The problem is he doesn't want to go back to PSG, right? Why would he? They treat him like garbage. He doesn't care about him. Like, there's not really a relationship there. Barcelona haven't really been able to make an official offer that that there have been any reports about. And believe you me, as soon as there's any paper that gets passed, there's going to be a report about it. That's going to get leaked immediately. And meanwhile, you have freaking Saudi Arabia offering him $400 million a year. And that's kind of his only other offer on the table besides the MLS deal that we don't know many details about, except there was a report that all of the MLS clubs would group together to circumvent the salary structure limit in MLS. All of it's ludicrous. If Messi ends up in Saudi Arabia, I'm going to be so pissed off that I had to watch him play for this crappy Paris Saint-Germain team for the last two seasons, and then he just gets shipped off to Saudi Arabia, where I will not watch a single match. Except maybe when he plays Ronaldo. And even then, that's a tough beat. That is a tough watch. But that would suck if him and Ronaldo ended up in Saudi Arabia. That'd be pretty terrible. What a way to end your careers. There was a report from, let me see if I can find where this report was from. But it involves my favorite summer transfer that I want to happen. And that is Joao Cancelo. So Barcelona are, of course, they're reportedly interested. Now, granted, like, I think it was a week ago, they were reportedly saying no. And now they're back in, so who knows. But Joao Cancelo and Manchester City, that relationship soured, right? He went to Bayern Munich For some reason, he doesn't fit into their system. I don't know what they thought they were getting besides a great right back. Apparently, they don't want him playing there. I don't really understand. They changed managers to Tuchel. He still doesn't play him. They're not going to pay the $70 million buyout clause. So Barcelona are apparently interested in getting a loan deal done. Why wouldn't they? Of course they would. So the problem is City are going to want some sort of obligation to buy. They're not going to want to keep pushing this Joao Cancelo thing down the road. So either he returns to City, or I feel like he comes on a loan to buy at Barcelona, where after the year, where they're, you know, let's say the loan to buy is like for 50 mil, which would be a little low maybe, but maybe City are just like, we'll take what we can get from these guys. And then after 12 months, Barcelona realize, we can't pay this. And then all of a sudden they're asking everybody to take salary reductions again 12 months from now to pay the Manchester City fee for Joao Cancelo. I don't care. Kick that can down the road. I want Joao Cancelo for Barcelona next year. Cancelo and Balde at fullback? That would be awesome. In terms of Barcelona news, that's kind of the main stuff. Let's talk about the broader footballing world before we get out of here for the weekend. Chelsea hired back Frank Lampard as a caretaker till the end of the season. I don't know if that means they got word from, you know, Luis Enrique and Nagelsmann that they didn't want to take a midseason job. And so Barcelona were kind of left in a position where, Chelsea were left in a position where they weren't going to get any of the guys they wanted midseason. So let's bring back Frankie. Like, he needs a chance. Nobody thinks he's a good manager because he's probably not. And then hopefully he isn't so bad we end up in a relegation battle. And then in the summer we can bring in Nagelsmann or Luis Enrique. Why they would want Enrique over Nagelsmann, I don't know. As much as I love Enrique here, I was not impressed by his run with Spain. Granted, managing the Spanish national team is very different than a club team. In his last club team, he was great. So perhaps I'm being too bullish on Julian Nagelsmann. I'm not sure. Either way, it's hilarious that Frank Lampard's back at Chelsea. Speaking of Julian Nagelsmann, his former club, Bayern Munich, were immediately bounced out of the Pokal after their, like, I guess it was an impressive win over Dortmund. Dortmund just, like, fell asleep at the wheel, and then Dortmund lost again to Leipzig. Just so Dortmundy and so frustrating. I wanted a Bundesliga title race, and it doesn't look like I'm going to get one. But yeah, Bayern got bounced out of the Pokal in very unimpressive fashion. So it was funny. I don't know. It wasn't a great match, but it was just funny that they did. In PSG, Kylian Mbappe got mad that he was the main person featured. I think it was in a PSG like sales video for season tickets. And I guess he was mad at how much he was featured in the video, which is and I just got the notification that Salernitana tied Inter. In a 1-1 draw. When did they score? They scored in the 90th minute. Dude, this Inter team, I swear. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Mbappe. The fact that he is as paid as much as he is and would get mad that he's featured heavily in a sales video, it's just hilarious. I don't know. I just find it funny. And then apparently the PSG president came into the dressing room. I don't know if he apologized, talked to the players, whatever.
Excuse me.
Ugh. I don't know how that apology goes. Hey, guys, sorry we used our most marketable asset in a sales video to sell things. I hope, Donnarumma, I hope you weren't hurt, that you weren't in it as much as Mbappe. Messi. You know, we didn't want to have the whistles come through as people were watching our video. But just PSG, what a absolute disaster. I hope Mbappe leaves. Actually, no, I don't, because then he's coming to Real Madrid. Dude, that Madrid team, big matches to watch this weekend. If you're a golf fan, the Masters is on, which is just great. If you're not a golf fan, it's fun to watch just for like 10 minutes to get a vibe. It's a very interesting vibe. But for football, the Premier League title race, Arsenal play Liverpool on Sunday. City play the day before against Southampton. Liverpool, very confusing team. Got destroyed by, what was that, City they played? Yeah, it was City. Got destroyed by City without Erling Haaland. Now they go up against Arsenal. Arsenal with a really good chance. This is one of their hardest matches left on the calendar to continue to put pressure on City. And then next week we have the Champions League. Barcelona get to rest till Monday because they're out of the Champions League, which is great for them. Madrid are back in action on Saturday due to the Champions League. So again, the league, again, it is just absolutely gifted to Barcelona. They're out of every other competition. They have more time to rest. And Madrid have less time to rest in between matches, which for an old squad, that you know, vies good for Barcelona, except when they play them in a cup tie. That doesn't matter. But we'll talk more about the Champions League on Monday. I'll probably end up recording the pod before Barcelona play that afternoon or that evening. I think it's against Girona from what I recall looking at the schedule. Let me just look that up real quick. Yes, it is a home fixture against Girona. So another, you know, second bottom half of the table team that has a zero goal differential. They are perfectly even. 52 scored, 52 given up. So that should be fun. Again, they have Barcelona have a freaking 12-point gap at the top of the league. You would really hope that they're able to further that against Girona. Real Madrid play Villarreal, which is a little bit harder. Villarreal are in sixth, so great weekend of football. It's going to be a lot of fun next week with the Champions League, even though Barcelona aren't in it. And it'll be fun to watch them in it next year, I guess. So anyways, hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy the football. Subscribe to the pod if you want. Give it a rating if you want. That would be great. And I will chat with you next week. Thanks.